This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It is quitting time. Weekend is here, hot and steamy in the A. Spring has sprung. Feels great. Some funky weather coming this week. I'll tell you more about that. We'll get you up to speed on what's going on with March Madness as the tournament action is heating up with all the conference action. But, Carl, it's time to talk Falcons, and we start every hour of every show with a big hearty,
Hey, man!
And some breaking news with the Falcons, and this is one I think Falcon fans are going to be really excited about. We have signed Megan Fox. She's a knockout, a stunning actress. Everybody loves her, Carl. She's sexy. I think she's great in everything she does. I don't know what role she'll play in the Falcons, but Megan Fox, Carl, coming to the Falcons.
Are you sure that's correct?
What's that, Oren?
Morgan
oh, I'm sorry.
Fox, gentlemen.
I'm told
Morgan
that's
Fox.
Morgan Fox, not Megan Fox.
Ah!
It is Morgan. That would have been a hell of an addition for the cheerleading squad, I can tell you that. No, we have signed Morgan Fox. He was with the Rams, the Panthers, and most recently with the Chargers, and he is an edge rusher. He's a defensive end. He's actually had 6.5 sacks in 20 in his career, if I'm reading this correctly. Punching up the numbers, not exactly familiar with his work, but we got Morgan Fox, Carl, added to the mix.
Okay. And again, look, these kinds of moves, they're not good, they're not bad, they are just moves that the Falcons make, and you're not getting necessarily a difference maker, but you're getting another guy that knows how to play, and a depth piece, Mike. So, you know, what's the deal? 2 years, $8.5 million?
Yep.
2 years?
Is that the deal? Yeah. He's 3.5 sacks. He did have 6.5 sacks in 22 with the Chargers. Again, he's playing with was playing with Bosa. 5.5 sacks a year ago. 3.5 sacks this year. He did play in all 17 games. He's not missed a game in the last 4 years. So he's been durable. Whatever his role is, he's been out there.
All right.
Looks like a rotational guy.
Correct. And I was going to say, for Falcon fans who are freaking out and like, oh, I can't believe we've not done this and that and the other. Again, we didn't have that kind of money to be major players, to sign multiple big-time free agents. And number two, that doesn't always get you there. Now, I don't know how good Morgan Fox is going to be, to Mike's point. You know, we could have said Megan Fox, and you probably would have been like, who? But the fact of the matter is the Falcons are trying to add depth to this defensive line, Mike, before they dive into the draft and figure out how they're going to approach this the way this thing shakes out. We all think, again, they have the 15th pick. We know where everybody else is going to go, and the guy you want is going to fall right to you. It never happens that way. So they've got to figure out, in the meantime, how do we add to this defensive line? How do we get more athletic, Mike? How do we get more guys that know how to rush the passer? So they're doing that. And, again, you said it, rotational piece. I'm not necessarily disappointed about it, but, I mean, I just think Falcon fans, everybody wants these big names that we've seen drop in other places.
Right.
And this year was not going to be that year, guys.
No, we knew that we didn't have all the cash in the world. Like we had enough to make some minor moves, and we've added some pieces. And we talked about, you know, depth of the offensive line. One of the guys that I wanted just because, you know, if in fact McCary or, heaven forbid, Jake, who's been so reliable, Jake Matthews, does go down, you want to have somebody who can swing as a tackle and play that role. role, and that's one of those things that Storm Norton has done, and Parker's been a decent, I guess they like the depth there. They brought those two guys back. We still presume that Ryan Neusel will be the center. They did tender him. We don't know if there's another plan. We've mentioned Bradbury, who looks to be released the center for the Vikings the last couple of years. If that's going to be an there's a center. He's being released. We don't know if that's on the Falcons' radar, but you know, the money, the cap space we do have, Carl, unless you restructure somebody, then you add your draft class, starts to get gobbled up like Pac-Man.
It does. It really does. And I think, too, and we had another signing. I know we were talking about before this actually hit at five, but we had another signing to talk about, but neither one of them make you go, oh, I can't believe they did that. These are the kind of guys you bring in, Mike, that add some depth to your team, and hopefully you can get some production from them. That's all we can hope for.
Yep, and the other piece that we added earlier in the show, we were talking about Keith Taylor. He's a corner. He was on the practice squad for the Chiefs a year ago. He'd been with Carolina, and then he did play for the Chiefs in a number of games last year, and he was also on their Super Bowl roster. So he was, you know, he's got a ring. So he's a dude that would be a depth in the defensive back room, cornerback, and also has played some special teams in his career. So those are some of them, again, smaller moves, not exactly moving the meter for most Falcon fans, but adding some depth.
All right. By the way, doesn't it seem like we had more money than we actually seem like we had?
Well, yes. We'll have presumably more cap space next year when Cousins is only a $10 million hit, regardless of what happens to him this year, wherever he goes. But yeah, I mean, I just thought that maybe we'd look for, since Dahlman left, we'd go for another guy with a starter, you know, some starting experience at center. Maybe they don't value this as big an issue as I have been the last couple days. I don't know. If you add up some of the pieces, could we have, you know, been in the mix? That's the thing. You and I basically told the listeners, the hell with Joey Bosa, he's going to want 2 years or more, and he signs a one-year deal with Buffalo. You know, I do like Leonard Floyd. I think that's good. But, I mean, in all things being equal, I would have taken 75% of Joey Bosa if I knew it was a one-year deal.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Yeah. Got a bit of an update on Morgan Fox here. So there is champion pedigree in the family, as his French Bulldog Winston won Best in Show at the National Dog Show, the Westminster, Thanksgiving Day 2022. So there's an update about the championship pedigree that one Morgan Fox has.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. He's from Fountain, Colorado, played his college ball at CSU Pueblo, Carl. And then he was picked up by Les Snead with the Rams. Played 4 years with the Rams, then 1 year with the Panthers, and as I said, more recently with the Chargers, 27 and a half tackles in his career. He's aged 30, by the way. Not Megan Fox, although I would have been excited about that as well. Morgan Fox signs for the Falcons.
So that dog's worth some money is what you're telling me, Big O, right?
Right. Purebred.
I mean, not going to lie, I'd be breeding dogs if I was simply playing football. A lot easier work, I would guess.
Good money in that. You know, I had a Rhodesian Ridgeback that was purebred. Yeah. And they got this whole process, Carl. I actually had to watch the dog breed with another dog. It's like with the horses. When they put a horse out to stud, you got to know the deal's been consummated.
Yeah,
Not that I did that. That was somebody else's job.
I don't know if he does it anymore, but I do know at one point Big Boy was breeding Frenchies and had him, and I don't know if he does it still, but yeah, there is really big money because those dogs, especially purebreds, they go for a lot of money. But yeah, that's interesting, man. That's something we can talk to him about, Big O, once we get a chance to meet this guy. But look, the Falcons, and here's the point we're getting to. I know we're dropping these names, and it's whether it's Morgan Fox or whomever we've discussed here over the last few days. I don't know if Falcon fans are in their car driving home, Mike, or however you're accessing the show, going, man, that's a great signing. But what you have to think about is how they're going to construct this defense and the other guys that we're going to bring in the draft. That's part of this. And I know, Mike, part of us don't realize or don't look at the guys that are already here that we didn't see. How do those guys plug in? And I'm not trying to make excuses for the Falcons because I don't have to. If we're going to be good or not. And if we're not good, then changes will be made. But I also think that the guys that we thought we were going to see last year that we didn't see are going to play a huge role in this year's upcoming defense, especially with the new defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich.
Yeah, man. I know that we sent all those guys out to Athens. We talked about it on Wednesday. 22 dudes piled into some of those Mercedes vans and headed over to watch the Georgia Bulldogs go through their pro day. Not sure if we had that many folks representing the Falcons at the Georgia Tech pro day, but one guy who's certainly getting a lot of talk, maybe as a fifth rounder. Some guys have him as a sixth rounder, but that is Zeke Biggers, Carl. And this is a dude that if you're looking for some size, you're looking for somebody in the interior line, 6'6", 321, I don't know, because we don't have a fifth-round pick. We don't have a sixth-round pick. But that's a guy that some folks feel is going to be perhaps a day two, more likely a day three guy in the NFL draft. But he was on display today out on the flats.
How many guys do you think Tech – I don't know about NFL. I'm not saying how many they put in the league right this year, but I'm saying, like, first-rounders, how many – it's a couple? A couple of first-round guys, potentially? Or are we still talking later in the draft for these Tech guys? What do you think?
I would think that, you know, Zeke Biggers is a name that everybody mentioned. Tight end Jackson Hawes.
Yep. That's another one. That's another one.
I'm trying to think. I'm off the top of my head, I'm gonna punch it up. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because this next year, you're going to have guys that are, I would think – they'll have more coming in. Brent Key's still got the recruiting cycle that he's put together.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Some of these guys were guys he inherited. Some guys are transfers.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, a total of 16 Jackets wrapped up their pro career. I'm looking at this from Jackets Online from their website.
Sure.
So others that were participating today, Jordan Williams, Lamiles Brooks, Burrell, Freer, Gore, Chase Lane, Joshua Robinson, David Shanahan, Tatum. So there's some dudes. But yeah, the one I did mention, because a lot of guys have said, would we be interested if we – see, that's the thing. Yes, I would be interested in a guy like that, Biggers, if we had availability with a pick. But we don't have a pick when he's slated to be drafted later in the round.
At least not right now, right?
Right.
We don't have that additional pick that we're looking
for. No, you could always take a 7 this year and something else and move up if you feel that's a guy. Don't know how they grade him, but he's a guy that certainly some folks felt would be a good addition for somebody. Taking a flyer, he's projected to be a backup and maybe be a starter someday.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I mean, that's the other part of this that we still are waiting to figure out. And it won't get figured out, guys, until draft night. I mean, we're not going to know unless a deal is done, you know, a week before or so that they've added additional picks. But usually that stuff doesn't happen until draft night where you're trying to maneuver and acquire additional picks, and then you see where this thing goes. It's going to be fun, though. It's going to be so much fun, Mike.
Right. All right, guys. It's not Megan Fox. It is Morgan Fox.
Morgan.
Hey, man, we will talk about
what's the last good movie she's been in, by the way?
Who cares? I just like looking at her.
She hadn't been in any good movies.
No, but she's, I don't know, she's
and didn't she have weird thumbs, if I remember correctly?
Well, she's got weird taste in men. Wasn't she with Marilyn Manson, Oren?
Yeah, and Machine Gun Kelly.
She was married to Brian Austin Green.
And then, that's right.
And then she was with Machine Gun Kelly. I mean, shoot, Chris, you could stuff him in a garbage can, that guy.
No, you're right. But by the way, check out Subservience. It's actually pretty good.
Okay.
The last movie she was in?
She plays a robot houseworker that gets a little frisky.
I just think if you ever got a chance to, you know, spend time with her, I don't think anything would be out of bounds, Carl.
Wow.
As my father would say, I think that would be pretty much soup to nuts. On that note, this hour of the show, Dukes and Bell, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. We'll come back. We got more to dive into, including... You're not going to believe what John Calipari said about the SEC tournament, and plenty more on the latest in March Madness. It's coming up. Yeah, man, it is tournament time, and everybody is glued to your TV. If you are, Carl, a big college basketball fan, or you're like a Georgia fan, and now you're really into college basketball. The joke is, I don't know about you, man. Florida State, for me, has been so, just kind of meh. This is Coach Hamilton's last year, and I had no expectations going into it. The one story that I have gravitated to, because I grew up with the Big East, is Rick Pitino and St. John's. I've been fascinated by that, the Vice Sport documentary that's going on. And that's a team that I'm certainly going to follow. I know certainly for Georgia fans, the idea that you're in the tournament, and if Joe Lunardi is right, and it will be the 9 seed going up against Pitino, he thinks it'll be Memphis in the Midwest region. If you could beat Memphis, you'd get Houston. But I mean, just the fact you're in it, and that's the thing with Georgia, trying to build momentum so you actually do pay attention and you get invested with it, with Mike White's team.
Well, I think, Mike, we're seeing around the SEC that this idea that you're just football schools is done. And when Alabama is as dominant as they've been this season, when Auburn has been as dominant, Florida, again, they won back-to-back championships back in the mid-2000s, and Al Horford was a part of that. But this shows you across the board that the SEC can also be the most dominant basketball conference. There's no reason that it can't be. And it hasn't always been that way. It's always been the ACC was better. It's always been the Big Ten was better. When the Big 12 at its height was better. Not now. And so I agree with you. I think Georgia should be striving for nothing less than tournament runs every single year, and they should be considered one of the top, basketball programs. But, Mike, they've got to want to do that. As much as Georgia fans love the Dogs and football on a Saturday afternoon, they have to love the fact that we could also dominate basketball in March.
Right. And one thing we know now in the changing landscape of college basketball, it's one and done. It's transfer a guy you didn't really know, but he comes in and hopefully you catch lightning in a bottle the way some programs had. But you're not going to develop because, in basketball now, it's been like this for decades. But in football, you know a guy for at least 2 years, maybe three, right? Sometimes four. But it's the connection you have with the team, watching it develop. It just hasn't, you haven't been able to do that unless, look at Bruce Pearl. I mean, yeah, he's kind of a used car salesman, but the results speak for itself. And Mike White, whether he was getting out of Gainesville ahead of the posse because they weren't happy with the results, if you can make a run, I mean, this is something Georgia fans just aren't used to. We've had such a run of mediocre coaches. And, let's be honest, Tom Crean didn't do anything over the years. You got to go all the way back to, Jim Harrick. Of course, that obviously was built on some shaky ground. But, if you really want to go back to true success that was sustained, it was back when Tubby was coaching. That's how long ago, when it was really cooking at Stegman.
Yeah, and remember, there was a time where it was Kentucky and everybody else, right?
Right.
I mean, it was Kentucky, literally, was Alabama in football for basketball with the SEC, and then everybody else just kind of fell in the line, and it was like, all right, if we get in the tournament, great. Kentucky may be the third or fourth best team in this conference this year, Mike, and I don't even know if that's giving it justice. So that's what's changed around the SEC, and I agree with you, man. Like, for Georgia, and we're not saying you got to go back to cheating, to Mike's point with Herrick and what was going on there, but I do think that the quality of players, and we've said this, Ant-Man goes to Georgia for 1 year, Mike. What did we get out of it?
Nothing.
Nothing.
That's just it. I mean, you know, we know that, you know, Herrick and then Felton, and then, of course, Felton wins the SEC. Remember that was the year the tornado?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then you had to keep him longer.
Dome,
than,
right,
you had to keep him longer than you probably should have. Mark Fox didn't do anything. Tom Crean. And now Mike White hopefully making it work. Meanwhile, a guy with a big resume but hasn't done much lately is John Calipari. First off, you're not going to believe what Bruce Pearl said today on network television. First, though, listen to John Calipari. Carl and I played this earlier. We were both laughing out loud. He's stealing Bruce Pearl's material from last year. Take a listen.
I don't care about the conference tournament, which is why we won it so many times, because I could care less. The tournament that matters is the NCAA tournament. Now, you play that tournament to get the best seed you can get. And if you're going to get to the finals, win. Or don't go to the finals and lose because you're exhausted and you got to play on Tuesday or Wednesday. So I'm like, let's play well and try to improve our seed.
Why is he yelling like Al Pacino?
He does a little bit sound like that, doesn't he?
And what I'm trying to do is win games in March when they matter. Not about some rinky-dink SEC tournament. If I was half the coach I was, I'd take a flamethrower to Nashville. I mean, why the hell?
He does sound like that.
Why is Calipari taking it up out of the blue? But I'm trying to win this. Sounds like a mental patient.
It does sound that way.
Anyway, that was after they lose to Ole Miss, and then Ole Miss loses to Auburn.
By the way, it's a cop-out, by the way. It's such
total
a cop-out.
Yes. No.
And Bruce Pearl brought this up last year when he felt like his team was affected because they made the deep run in the conference tournament, and he felt like, hey, it affected us when we got to the tournament. Either way, don't you want to win all your games?
I mean, you're like, this thing.
Yeah, this what? Idea, like... This idea,
you got your head all the way up in it.
This idea, Mike, that like, okay, we'll just go out and play, and if we help our seating, great. If we don't, I'm fine with it. Like, what?
Right.
Come on.
Yeah, man, there was a time Al Pacino, the last time he was kind of a regular guy, it was that movie with John Goodman, and they were detectives in NYPD looking for a stalker. It's called Sea of Love with Ellen Barkin, and he kind of played it, you know, by the numbers, and then Scent of a Woman, and that's when, of course, it's Shouting Al became a thing.
When I think of woman's something comes out of me.
By the way, he ad-libbed that scene. When you see Hank Azaria react, that's because he totally ad-libbed that scene about she's got a great, you got, anyway, all the way up it. Hey, let's move on to Bruce Pearl today. Auburn beats Ole Miss. Some are saying that they're leaking a little bit, or are they? Here's Bruce on network television letting this slip.
The key to our three-point line defense is I got bigs that can get out there and guard guards. I got bigs that can get out there and guard guards. And my guards aren't... They're going to go down there and bang a little bit. You know, they're give them a hard time.
That's good to know. He's in the locker room. He's in the locker room. Right. He's talking. He's comfortable.
So he didn't say wussy, but you can figure out what he said, Carl.
My guards are not blanks. They're willing to go down there and bang with the big guys. Okay, look. There's something to be said about Bruce Pearl's candidness, but
right?
Wow. I mean, that was the post-game interview, wasn't it?
That's a Big Ten 4.
Yeah, yep. Wow.
Orin, he got on the set where ESPN was up at Bridgestone in Nashville?
Yeah, he was on the set, players and commentators, and just kind of dropped that live.
Hey, man, Tennessee beating up your boy Rick Barnes. He can do this, Carl. It's just a matter of what happens in that second round of the tournament.
Yeah, but he's 2-1.
Yeah, Tennessee is leading Texas right now, and a lot of folks feeling that Texas will play in that Dayton game potentially for the 11 seed.
Probably.
And as we said, for what it's worth, the Joe Lenardi's, you know, he's got Georgia in, although we spoke with our man Deshaun Tate and said, yeah, losing in the first round is never a resume builder in your own tournament, but we'll see. I mentioned St. John's taking on Marquette. The big one is North Carolina and Duke. Here's John Shire. This is last night, right, Orin? Talking about what's up with Cooper Flagg and other injuries he's dealing with.
I would have to be, like, convinced by everybody in the locker room when I go back that he should play. You know, it's not worth it. You know, it just isn't. And, again, I mean, he was swollen already. It's not about being ready to go tomorrow. That's not the most important thing for us. We got to see if we can get him right for this run that we can make in the tournament. I would have to be really convinced that we should even consider seeing if he can go tomorrow. And he may not be able to go anyway. He probably won't be able to go anyway. But I think it's a real long shot.
And that long shot is confirmed. Blue Devils will not have a Cooper Flagg for tonight, Carl. He's been ruled out against North Carolina. And also Malik Brown. He had to go to the hospital. That's how, you know, like when the nerve gets pinched and you're, like, you're in shock? That's what it sounded like with that dislocated left shoulder. You worry about blood flow and everything else. So he was in a ton of pain. It's not the worst. I've dislocated my shoulder a million times. But anyway, he's out. So they're going to be down two stars against North Carolina. So do you believe what Calipari's version of the Bruce Pearl line, better for Duke to just, you know, just bow out? And does the tournament just seed him at number one, or they drop down to number two?
Well, how important is it to you? Do you feel like, because coaches will tell you, it's where the committee sends their team, right? You want to be as close to home as possible. You don't want to go to Seattle, Mike. You don't want to go out west to Fresno if you don't have to. And that's the thing. So the seeding is only important in the sense of where are we going to have to try to get back to the Final Four, which is this year's in San Antonio. So, I think Duke's good enough to get there, whether he plays right now or not. I'm with Shire on this. Can he play next Thursday or Friday? Like, that's right. That's the main thing. And you get in that tournament and you win two games next weekend, and all of a sudden you're in the Sweet 16. Now you got a shot. And so I don't risk him either. There's no way.
Hey, man, I got some Post Malone tickets for you coming up in just a minute. First things first, the story we're going to talk next with CJ Nikowski from FanDuel Sports. You see him on the broadcast with Brandon Gaudin. He's going to come up next. But we were really worried, Carl, earlier today, Austin Riley gets plunked on the same hand he got busted up last year.
Yeah, it was. And the good news, I guess, again, you know, they list him as day to day. But you just don't know how this – he's been working so hard to get his swing back, Mike, to where he feels comfortable, where he was a couple of years ago, and it seemed like everything was moving in the right direction. And sometimes these kind of injuries, right, they just set you back. And I know it sounds silly to most people, but trust me, when you talk about a routine and your hands and placement and the bat, like, and how, you know, the pressure, all this stuff, guys, it plays into how guys swing it, and I don't know if it's going to affect him.
Right. Everyone freaked out because he gets plunked. Obviously, Jurickson Profar said he'll be good for opening day. But, I mean, look, it's just either guys are working on stuff or you got guys that are going to be basically pitching in Double A by this time next month. So, either way, he gets hit. They do the X-ray. X-ray was negative. But, of course, what scared people was the X-ray was negative last year. Then he got the CT scan. It was a fracture. Anyway, he does get the CT scan. He's okay. So, you won't see Austin Riley. Matter of fact, you know what, Carl? Hell, put him in bubble wrap for the next 3 weeks. But we'll talk to CJ Nikowski about that coming up next. This hour of the show, guys, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. It's happy hour now and every Monday through Friday, now 3 to 6 at B-Dubs. All right, guys, we got some tickets for you right now. Be caller number 9. Caller number 9 right now. Win a pair of tickets to see Post Malone and his Big A's Stadium Concert Tour with Jelly Roll and Sierra Ferrell. Sunday, May 11th, guys, at the Benz. Guys, plus a pair of that Big A's VIP tailgate passes. You'll be rocking like a big shot, guys. It's going to be going down. You and Post Malone are going to be acting like best buds. Caller 9 right now. Tailgate passes on sale at postmalone.com/tailgate. I'm sorry, Carl. I should have done it as Al Pacino. Caller number 9, 404-726-0929. Talk to Oran. Talk more about the Bravos and what to expect in 2025. Friend of the show, CJ Nikowski, who does such a great job with our buddy Brandon Gaudin on FanDuel. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good. Little freaky, though, man. We got to keep these guys from getting plunked down there. I got to put them in bubble wrap.
It's the worst, isn't it? And you come off of last year with all of those injuries even more heightened, right? Because we know what it meant to the club last year, missing so many guys over the course of the season. You see that hit by pitch, you panic. You see Jurickson Profar diving in left field, you panic because you just have this feeling of what 2024 was all about, but it looks like we dodged a bullet on both of those guys.
CJ, speaking of pitching and hitting, but I want to specifically talk about Ian Anderson, and I want to get your thoughts about his challenge. You know, we talked a lot about it heading into spring training and the pressure that's been on him. I think he's looked halfway, you know, really good, actually, throughout his starts here at spring, and I want to get your assessment on where he's at. And then how does he carry this over into the start of the season?
Yeah, so I'd say this. The command for spring training hasn't been what he would like it to be. I think that's fair. 13 walks in 12 innings is a lot. It was 6 strikeouts. So we know he's, you know, it's sometimes part of what comes along with him. He's off, not to that level, But he's also a great ground ball pitcher. And something we brought up in one of his earlier spring training starts is that you could live with it if you can get out of it, right? Whether you're a big swing and miss guy, you can pitch around walks. If you get a lot of ground balls with a good defense behind you and turn double plays, you can get away with walks. If you're walking guys and you're a fly ball pitcher, you give up home runs, that's not a great combination. That's the only thing on the negative side that has stuck out at all. He's only given up four hits in his four starts over those same 12 innings. He's kept the ball in the ballpark. No home runs there. That's been the real positive. His changeup looks really good. I think at times as he's, you know, coming back from this, and obviously he pitched in the minor leagues a decent amount last year, you're just keeping an eye on the command, especially the fastball command, at times can kind of go in and out for him. But what the Braves are asking him to do, especially with the emergence of Grant Holmes, is to probably be your fifth starter. And to be your fifth starter and to just hopefully give you five innings on most days. And if there's a day where he doesn't have maybe that great command and you have to dip into the bullpen a little bit earlier, the Braves should be built to be able to handle that. So it's looking good. And it's one of those things, too, that I think the realistic expectation is that he should get stronger and sharper as the year goes on. Not everybody recovers at the same time from surgery. And so there's been enough positives there for me that I feel pretty confident that he's going to be given that fifth spot in the rotation.
Yeah, are we okay in the bullpen, CJ? Because I know there was some thought we may add some more pieces. Do we have enough depth there?
I think so. I mean, I was really hoping as this offseason developed that there was still a good arm out there that's still out there in David Robertson. And he's an Alabama guy. And so I'm like, come on, he's 40 years old. Why don't you come home to finish out your career? It sounds like maybe it's a little expensive right now, some of the rumors that are out there, which is surprising. He was good last year. He had 99 punch-outs out of the pen. But he's not here. And so what you do have here, obviously, Rysell, Pierce Johnson is going to be asked to do a little bit more. I feel like Aaron Bummer's season a year ago was maybe not appreciated as much as it should have been. I'm okay with him. Dylan Lee was great last year. I think when we start to get to after that is where you need some guys to be able to step up. Hector Neris was a late sign, 35-year-old righty who's done a lot in the game. He's a non-roster invitee, so there's no guarantee there. But if he looks right, I think he's a nice piece. Again, you're sliding down in your bullpen. Excuse me. But the focus is on Daisville Hernandez. We saw it last year with him. You know, he wasn't up very much, but toward the end of the year, he got snitch trust. I've said this a lot. It's one of the most important things as a reliever is to have your manager's trust in big spots. He pitched in the postseason last year. That's how much trust he had from Brian Snicker. He is a really big key piece to what happens, I think, in the bullpen. You can always move on if a guy's not good and try to find another piece. But to me, Daisville Hernandez is the guy that lengthens this thing and makes it more of a complete bullpen. Buck Farmer, Angel Perdomo is the guy who's gotten a look. There's other pieces there, but my focus is on Daisville. I'm confident in the top four, and we'll see what Hector Neris looks like the rest of spring.
CJ, what do you think about Profar and what he's going to do for this lineup?
Man, I love this signing so much. A lot of different things. One, he'll hit leadoff until Manny gets back. You know, you look at his numbers over the course of his career, but especially lately. I shouldn't even say the course of his career because he's a different guy now than he was even a couple of years ago. Really good. The Braves are very clear about the fact that they believe in the changes that he made with his swing, the way that he laid it out there. I saw him when he was a kid with the Texas Rangers, when I was calling games for them, when he was a consensus number one prospect in baseball for a couple of years and didn't quite start his career the way that he wanted to, but it's in a great spot right now. They needed this. They needed an outfielder. I think there was probably an outfielder, starting pitcher, and a reliever were the three areas that we were focused on as fans over the winter. And the outfielder to me might have been the most important. And so to have him to be able to hold that down till Ronald gets back, we'll see a platoon in right. But you have a really good, steady left fielder. Everyone seems thrilled. He's a fantastic guy. He's got that million-dollar smile. He's thrilled to be around some guys from Curaçao. Fans are going to love him, but you know the production is what is most important. And the Braves believe in what they saw last year. Alex Anthopoulos had some pretty big, bold words when he was talking about Jurickson Profar and saying he was the second best free agent bat, according to us, on the market. That's a market, obviously, that included Juan Soto, who was considered the best, but Alex Bregman was out there and a couple of others, Pete Alonso, and he said that we had Profar as number two, best bat available, and they went out and got him.
Mm. CJ Nikowski's with us, guys, 10 years in the show, and now you see him, of course, having a lot of fun with our man Brandon Gaudin on FanDuel Sports from up there at Braves, where they're on the road, of course, at Truist Park. We'll be at Murph's, by the way, for the home opener. What about the catcher position? Eddie Perez, I saw Mark Bowman's tweet, said he saw some similarities between Drake Baldwin and Brian McCann, but that would be great. I know Murph is going to eventually get back, but what should be the expectations for Drake Baldwin?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see if he's going to, I'm going to say break north, but break west with the team when they open up out in San Diego. I don't know if we're there just yet, but I like them too. There's a lot to like. The Braves are well positioned to sustain Sean Murphy's absence. You know, last year, obviously, it was an issue missing the first couple of months, and Travis d'Arnaud is here, who's not here now. But they have the pieces that they need. And Drake Baldwin is an exciting player. I love his at-bats. You know, from the offensive side, he takes very unselfish at-bats. He doesn't try to do too much. His on-base percentage throughout his career in the minor leagues was terrific. I mean, well above average. It'll always come down a little bit from what you did in the minor leagues until you get to the big leagues and facing that big league pitching every day. But I think he can handle it based on what we have seen on spring training, and it's the approach. Like, he's short to the ball. He's not afraid to go the other way. I've seen a couple of teams give him some room on the left side, which I think is a mistake, and I think they'll learn pretty quickly not to do that because he has really good back control, knows how to put the ball in play, has a really good eye. So I think offensively, I don't think there should be a, every young player needs a little bit of room to get comfortable, but it doesn't feel like it's going to be that long. That he will be comfortable. And then defensively, you got to go off what your pitchers are telling you. And, you know, we could watch him and see him throw and those other things, but it's the feedback from your pitchers. Chris Sale had a lot of really good things to say about him. That's encouraging. Throwing to Ronaldo and other guys, or with Ronaldo and other guys, has been received pretty well by this pitching staff. So I don't think there's a lot to worry about. And we'll see whether or not the Braves decide if they want to bring him up. But, you know, the question becomes with a guy like him, once he gets to the big leagues and if he proves himself, you want him to stay. So if Sean Murphy's going to be ready, I'm guessing, say, April 15th, and I don't know what it's going to be, do you want Drake Baldwin to only get 2 weeks and then potentially send him down, or do you want him to be a backup? I think that's the only thing that they're probably considering, because I got to believe from a physical standpoint he fits.
CJ, how careful will they be with Ronald Acuna second time around?
Yeah, very. I mean, he's not going to DH, right? I think Alex was pretty clear about that. I mean, you really don't want to do that with Marcel in the way that he has been. So they will. They'll be very careful. They're not going to rush him back. We'll see. Keep hearing maybe early May. And he looks really good, and BP sounds great, and all that good stuff that you want to see from Ronald. So I think they're going to play it safe. Obviously, this is the second time it has happened with him, even though it's the other knee. I'll be curious to see how often he runs, you know, going forward as far as the stolen base attempts and trying to protect himself. The thing about it is it's tough to do. When you're a player like him who plays the game as hard as he does, as much as he loves the game, to ever tell a guy, hey, we need you at 85-90%, I don't know if that's a tough thing to execute when you're a young player and as great as he is. But I do think they'll be careful. The question becomes, do you give him just days off here and there? Will those be beneficial? Do you give him a day off when you have a team day off coming up after that so we can have 2 days off? That kind of stuff. That's what they'll probably have to work through. But so far the reports have been fantastic, and we know how much the Braves missed him last year.
Awesome. How much golf are you playing down there in spring training?
Zero. I mean, I saw a back surgery 2 years ago, and I just dragging my feet. I know it. I got to get my act together. Pickleball. I'm actually in Alpharetta right now. I'm headed back down tomorrow. We're back on TV when we got it the rest of the way. So we will be on the road for a while here. So we got, what is it, 8-9 more games on television, I think it is, or 8 more games on television in spring, including the two that are in Arizona, and then we'll be out there for opening day in San Diego, and then the first series, our second series against the Dodgers.
Hey, man, that's our buddy CJ Nikowski. And again, good dude. Him and I thought him and Brandon Carl, they got some good chemistry over the course of the season. And by the end of the year, he was just a perfect fit for FanDuel, just having fun, cutting up, being loose. And if you sit below the TV booth, maybe getting some popcorn and snacks and goodies thrown at you if you're a kid. They don't really throw that to adults. Which, I mean, they should. I mean, technically, if you're a paying customer. But, hey, man, this hour of the show is brought to you by B-Dubs. It's always ready for shenanigans and happy hour at your neighborhood Buffalo Wild Wings. Go to B-Dubs, man, and have some fun on a Friday. We've had some fun today. We got more stuff to get into, including, you're not going to believe what DeMarcus Lawrence said, and then how it was responded to by a former Cowboy teammate, which then became a Twitter beef, which got all of basically the NFL just laughing. And you'll hear Brian McFadden's take on it also later in the 6 o'clock hour, Carl, because he says it's kind of just a statement or a testament just how dysfunctional the Cowboys are. And Carl's silence speaks volumes on that as well. Hey, man, congratulations to our 9th caller. He's got the unbelievable deal. And by the way, that is a hell of a prize with the Post Malone tickets and the really cool VIP party for the concert coming up next month, or May, actually. Now, we were messing with the name. Is it Ishmael Dobdoob? That's a great, great name. Ish from Kennesaw. What's up, Ish? Ish in the house. Dab-doob. Anyway, he's got the Post Malone tickets, and we appreciate you guys who tried to win. But, you know, you just keep cracking at it, man. We'll have more fun coming your way and more concert tickets, as we always do on Dukes and Bell. If you missed out the announcement earlier today, if you guys live in the northern environs, like up by stately West Drewham Manor, he's been busy with the ACC tournament right now up there in Cartersville, or even further north, Carl and I kid you not, are going to be in Tennessee on Tuesday. We're going to be at the Twin Peaks location by Bass Pro Shops, basically all the way up just inside the Tennessee state line before 75 kind of splits off to 24. So if you live up in that neck of the woods, and as we know, we got a really big antenna, and we know the reach is pretty impressive, we are going to be at Twin Peaks with our buddies from New Realm Brewery, because they're going to have that beer on tap, taking it into Tennessee. New Realm just there over the weekend, last weekend, with Ike the Wonder Dog over on the Beltline. But anyway, we're going to be in Tennessee, man. So I was joking around with Carl, as they used to say at Neyland Stadium, it's Dukes and Bell time in Tennessee. Coming up next hour, man, the latest on the Falcons moves. They picked up some guys. They're not exactly household names. Oren did get me excited at the top of the hour. I thought we brought Megan Fox in, but it's another person with the last name Fox. We'll explain who all these guys are, how they fit with the Falcons, and is there any movement from the Cleveland Browns, who seem to be basically the only potential customer for any kind of deal for Kirk Cousins. So stay tuned for that. As I mentioned, B-back's on the way. Plenty of football talk in the six on Dukes and Bell.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.